what I'd like to do during this Chazara Shir is basically present the structure of the Sugya of Katan. There are a lot of individual shitot flying around, so it's good to know all of those. What we're really trying to do here is to try to present sort of how to frame the issue of Katan and what we were trying to parse out from the Sugya and Shir. This Sugya, I would say, is a little bit of a satellite Sugya in that at the beginning of the year, we were talking about the mitzvah of Shchitas Chulin and what that's all about. And here, to some extent, we were trying to figure out how Katan, or the permissibility or impermissibility of Katan, reflects on the character of Shchitas Chulin. And that was sort of the overall connection to what we've been trying to accomplish. So what I'd like to do is break down this Chazara Shir into five different sections. The first is the background to the Sugya. Section B is the nature of the psul shchitas katan. C is the nafka minot regarding the permissibility or desirability of shchitas katan. D is what is the role of gadol omed al gabav, and then try to do more broadly, and then trying to sort of fit it into our sugya. And E is how shchitas katan impacts our conception of what shchitas chulin is about. So let's start with section A. The Mishnah in Maseches Chulin, Daf Bet and Aleph, states, "Hakol shochtem shchitas and kashera, chutz mechera shotev katan." So, and what's the reason for that? Shema yekalkulu es shchitas. So the Mishnah states that everyone is capable of doing shchita, but then qualifies it by excluding chera shotev katan. So Rav Rosenzweig pointed out that the chutz mechera shotev katan is very interesting, intriguing, but since it immediately qualifies it by Shema Yikalku, that sounds more of like a practical problem in terms of our initial reading. If it was Mufka Mishchita entirely, that would have been much more exciting because it would point to it being a legal action and not just a Maisa. Parenthetically, it's important to note that we'll group Cher Shota V'Katan together, but there is a Shita quoted. I didn't see him quoting it b'shem anyone else, the Ravan. So I just thought it was a shame the Ravan in the Ravan himself when I looked it up. But the Ravan says that we're mechalik between Cheresh and Shota and Katan regarding Gadol Omid al Gabab. So he says nearly da Katanim Kai regarding if Gadol Omid al Gabab or Cherem Rowan or so. Right? He says Kagona Katanim Sheshachdeu. Now again, we'll treat them all together because they're all lakdas. Then the Mishnah continues by explaining how one can rectify the problem of Katan. And it says, "Kulan sheshachtu v'achirim roin osan, shchitasan kashera." So when you have achirim roin osan, overlooking them, shchita is kashera. Now the obvious question is, by that, is this some sort of narrow din, or more fundamental in terms of what achirim roin osan is doing? And B, is this a l'chachila or b'di'eved? So that's section A. Let's transition now into what exactly is the problem, what's the nature of the psul of shchitas katan. So here we can point to four different conceptual options. The first is a practical concern of chashash kilkul, meaning a katan is likely to mess up, and a young lad is, so we're not gonna be able to trust that a katan's able to do it successfully. Now, there are a few shita we could point to that reflect this model. The most obvious one is Tosfos on Yud Bet Amud Bet. So Tosfos is important. It's a very important Tosfos, but Tosfos is describing, why here. If you look at Tosfos Yud Bet Amud Bet, so he distinguishes between Gadol Omid Al Gavav and Melamdu and Acherim Rowan Oso. And the distinction is whether or not they're actually really contributing something. So basically, by Gadol Omid Al-Gabav, they really are contributing something. Aval Hacha Acherim Roenosan Ba'alma Ka'amar. Acherim Roenoso is just sort of like this external thing watching over them, make sure things go smoothly. Therefore, Tosus is really saying that it's just ensures that the Shechita goes correctly, but they're not actually... they're not actually doing much more than that. So that's important for later on. But what that reflects is that the whole concern in the first place is just a chashash kilkul. That's the most obvious source for this. Now, there are a bunch of other sources as well that reflect that it's all about chashash kilkul. in terms of, like, Rashi, for example, says, Demua din hein lekalkel, an yed bet amabet. And so even though that's talking about Achayim Rono, a son, but the point is that it's revolving around Kilkol. And I think as well, the idea that it could be Bal Tashchis, right, quoted by the Ramban, bet amad aleph, there's also this idea that you're just going to keep messing up. Another example of Kisoy Adam, right, that we're not going to, they're probably going to mess up, so we don't need to have an obligation to do Kisoy Adam. I think that's Pei Vav, maybe? Someone says that? Not sure. Anybody know? Okay. So somewhere it says the Kisoy Adam point. But anyways, this is all this first model of it's this Chashash Kilkol, this practical concern of the Katan messing up. Yeah.
Assuming they don't need to do Kisoy Adam?
Yeah, there's a sheet that says they don't need to do Kisoy Adam, right? And I think the idea is that it's likely that they're just going to mess up, so there's no obligation to do Kisoy Adam on it, because only if it's successful, you have to do Kisoy Adam. I think that's the shita there. Okay. Second model is that there's a lack of halachic kavana. So here we can point to three different, shito that can reflect this. So the first and primary one is the Rabbanan on Yudbet Mabet. The Rabbanan have machlokas Rabbi Nasan regarding whether you need kavana for shchita. And Rabbi Nasan holds no, and the Rabbanan hold yes. And so the Rabbanan clearly believe that, you know, you need kavana by shchita, and the Katan lacks that. Now, we don't paskin like the Rabbanan, but in terms of this approach, we clearly have it. We'll get back to this a little bit more later, but the Ramban in the Mechamos Rosh Hashanah Zayin Amud Aleph, Rav Rosenzweig pointed out a number of times that this idea of mitzvah, that this idea of Rabbi Nasan, the idea of the Rabbanan resonates with the Ramban. So even he mentions it at the end of it and connects it to Mitzvah Shrichos Kavana. And so the point is that even there are still echoes, I'll put it that way, there are still echoes of the Rabbanan, even in despite not poskening like the Rabbanan. And then another example is for the Rush talks about how for a Rush, bet chet, I believe. For Rabbi Nasan, koach gavra, if you lack any kavana at all, it's not considered to be koach gavra. So without getting into too much, but basically the Rush there sounds like even for Rabbi Nasan, koach gavra is a minimum. There's a minimum requirement of kavana, which sounds like there's some echoes of this idea that you need kavana by regular shchita. Okay, that's the second model. The third model is a problem with ne'emanus. The katan is possibly doing shchita because he lacks ne'emanus. We can't believe him that he did the shchita and that everything was shari v'kayam. So the best example for the shita is the Or Zarua. So the Or Zarua, I think it's Shin Samech Zayin. Anybody know offhand? I think it's Shin Samech Zayin. Yeah? Okay. So the Or Zarua says, Ashkan Delohe Minu Chachamim Lekatan Ki Ela B'Durabanan. The problem with a katan is that he doesn't have ne'amanas. Now, the Or Zarua writes that we believe the katan on dinim derabanan, such as bedikas chametz, but we won't believe him on inyane deraisa, like whether something is kasher. This perspective is I think everyone said this is the most popular perspective in the Mefarshim. Just to cite a few others, the Shach Yoredeya Aleph Chav Zayin says as well that the reason for the psul katan is in ne'amanos lekatan. Aruch HaShulchan, Yoredeya Simen Aleph, also says, Psul Katan Meshchita V'lo Omid Al Gabav, Hu Min HaTorah Me She'eino Ne'eman L'Hayid. Again, this idea of lack of Ne'emanus, and then Rashi in Gittin Ben Amabet, when he talks about Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurim, he mentions Shchita as an example of where there is Ne'emanus, but as we were trying to say, that if the Katan lacks Ne'emanus there, and that's one that could be the problem in Shchita. Okay, the fourth model, and I think this is really an exciting one, is that he's entirely excluded from the mitzvah. It's a lav bar hachi. So this opinion is found in the Levush. So the Levush quotes an opinion that the shchita isn't good because Vizavatha teaches that you need to be mitzuveh. So the Levush's point is that he's entirely removed, and therefore a katan can't possibly be capable of performing a successful shchita. So it's a very fundamental exclusion. Katan is that there's a psul shchitas katan. Now the shach is bothered by this lavush, because it does. How can he be entirely removed? Because the katan still has to eat kosher. That's one. And two is, if it's he's entirely mufka katan, how is it possible that gadol omid al gabon will help at all? Because you're entirely removed. So how could the gadol omid al gabon help? So there are ways to respond to that. So there could be a difference, in terms of the first one, there could be a difference between being mufka, not allowed to eat nevela, and being mufka from the Maisa Shechita. That's one option. And the second one is that maybe Gadol Omid Al-Gabav is like a really fundamental contribution to the Maisa Shechita. So it's not just, the katan's excluded, guy's watching over. But no, he's really contributing something significant. Those are our four models. Now let's move on to section C. I apologize, I'm moving a little quickly. I just want to make sure you guys have time for Chazara the rest of Seder. Now, just broadly speaking, the more we see, this is sort of our nafkamina section. So Shechita is katan, whether it's pasul, b'dyaved, l'chachila, in different contexts. So in terms of Shechita is katan, without acherim roen or so, or gadol omid al gabav. So let's put it this way. The more we see that b'dieved, it's fine in certain cases, that reflects it's about shema yakalkel. Meaning, if when a katan is like mumcha, or yodela aminas yadav, or both, right, then it's, then we could find ways for it to be acceptable. It's clearly about pragmatic concerns. That's what we're arguing. Now, the more that we see that even if we can parlay the practical concerns, it's still usser. That means it's more likely a fundamental issue, a more fundamental psul with katan. So just to give a few examples, and here there are a lot of shito, but I just want to mention a few examples that reflect this. So for example, the tour, and there's a day in the Or Zeruah Hilchos Shechita, although I think the Or Zeruah retracts it. So they think that a katan is okay b'dieved, if he's yodei la aminas yadav and he's yodei hilchos shechita. Now, what does this reflect? That it's about chashash kilkul. Because otherwise, if it's the other fundamental ones, who cares if yodei la aminas yadav or is a mumcha? It doesn't matter, right? There's psul, they don't have kavana, they don't have ne'amanos, they're fundamentally excluded. But if we can parlay some of the practical concerns, then they'd be acceptable, that could only fit, or likely fits, within the first model. Okay, then if we think, and just to give the other side of it, right, the Ramah says that even if they have all the qualifications in the world, they're the best shochet ever, they know everything, they're an Eloi in Shechita, despite that, im shacha beino lebein atzmo shechitasa psula, afal pish yodei helchol shechita, that's the Ramah Aleph Hei. Doesn't matter, it's always puzzle. Okay, so those are two, let's say that's one sort of clean nafkamina. Now, the way I view it, at least, I think this is sort of the way we're looking at it in Shir too, or at least a reasonable way to look at it, is that the case of Gadol Omid al Gabav is not as clean. Because it's not, like here, we can try to, broadly speaking, frame it without saying the case without Gadol Omid al Gabav or Achem Rona. So it's sort of A equals B, right? So if you think that you're able to, if you were able to push away the pragmatic concerns that it's okay, then it's okay, then that sort of leads you to think it's the first model versus the other ones. Here it's not as clear, because even if you hold that, you're getting, because let's say you hold the chachila, it's okay now, with gadol omi al gabav. But that could be for any of these reasons, right? It could be whenever the gadol is contributing, then, that for all of those reasons, it's now l'chachila. Now, if it's b'dieved, right, we can also find reasons for why that's the case. All right, so just to give an example, is that clear what I just meant by that? Yeah? This means, basically, my point is this, is that it's the, whereas in the case of simply by himself, the point we just made of the first nafkamina, it's very clean, right, in terms of how conceptually it would work out. Here, it's the Rishonim don't play out that way, like in terms of Gadol Omid al-Gabav, what model you hold, how it would work out. So here, the way I was discussing this with Avram yesterday, the way I sort of view it is that you can, even within within the Lashonos here, you can parse out their different conceptual perspectives. So for example, the Ramban, who says it's about Baal Tashchis, it's still B'di Evid here, or if the Katan is not Yodel Aminas Yadav, it's totally unacceptable. Again, that's about this idea of chashash kilkol. Now, if it's, and then again, for the Rishonim that hold it's lechachila gadol min al gabav, right? I think it's like the Tur and others. Then, if you hold that, then that just reflects, can reflect that, oh, it's about, you know, any of these four models, or it could be about, oh, you know, de'e hilchos shchita neman, it's totally fine because now you have the gadol watching over, securing, you know, hakol shari b'kayam. The Ramban is also a good model of this in terms of whether or not it's about chashash kilkol, because the Ramban states that even if we know that, even if there's gadol omid al gavam, there still is the chance that they mess up and they just didn't see it. So still there's this chashash kilkol. Right? That even if we have the gadol standing there looking over, there's just the risk is again too high. That's why it has to be b'di'eved. The Ramban. Okay. Now, you could also say that if it's b'di'eved for the other models, so how can it be b'di'eved if the gadol, and we'll get into this in the next section, but how could it possibly be b'di'eved if the gadol is, you know, inserting his das or whatever, and, you know, they're dealing with all these other concerns? So it's still, you could say that there's a distinction between the classes of, you know, it's still a katan, and so now you have this contributing das or something. That's still not meeting the standards or the ideal standards of shchita shulin or something. So I'm just saying it's not clean. So I would say as a methodology here, you could sort of parse out the perspectives from their formulations, but it's not A equals B type of nafkamina. Okay? Section D, gadol omid al gabav. So we didn't really fully spell out these different models and how they play out in our sugya and all the different conceptual perspectives. So we'll try to do that a little bit now, and we'll see how it goes. Okay. So what I kind of want to do is I want to do like lay out the three conceptual perspectives and then see sources about how they exist more broadly, and then think about whether we can pin them into or any of the sources here in our sugya. So there are three ways to look at gadol omid al gabav. The first is that the katan is the main actor. The katan's really doing everything. And the role of the gadol is just to ensure everything goes or went smoothly. Now, this approach, we didn't really have a clear model for this in terms of broadly speaking. But I'll say that in terms of our sugya, anyone who holds it's about ne'amanus or chashash kilkul, this perspective fits very nicely, because the gadol is not doing so much, it's just providing this external ne'amanus, it could testify about it, or it's just ensuring that there's no kilkul, but that's still assuming that the katan is the primary actor. So I think that works very well with anyone who holds chashash kilkul or ne'amanus, that first model. Now, the second model is that the real real actor here, the person who's most central, is the gadol. And the katan is sort of like the yada arichta, of the gadol. Now, here I think you can point to two different sources to portray this perspective. So the first is the Rashba writes that, you know, gadol omid al gabav only works, you know, by shlichas, something along those lines. Now there's two ways to read it. Rav Rosenzweig's preferred formulation, which we'll talk about in a moment, is that it's sort of not actually working through shlichas, but it sort of parallels shlichas. But maybe the simple reading of the Rashba is that it's b'tor shlichas. So really, the katan is doing everything on behalf of the gadol. The gadol is really the one who's, you know, the main person here. The katan is just sort of like practically the one doing it. But it's really all about the gadol. It's like he's the shliach. It's a yad arichta. It's just the extended hand of the gadol. It's really the gadol. It's just, you know, okay, this katan's practically doing the action. So that's one example for the second model. The second example here, and this I think is a little unclear. So this is where I think it fits best, and I know Josh thinks so as well. So Tosos Yedbet Mabet talks about what it would mean that gadol, for a gadol omid al gabav, right? So if you look at his formulation, it's very rich. The Tosos says that, here, let's find it. where? Oh, begadol omer al gabav. Haynu shemelamdin osan umazhir osan lasos l'shma. So they're very involved. In other words, right? Shemelamdin osan umazhir osan lasos l'shma. So the way I was sort of looking at it is that it's kind of like a puppet, right? Like they're standing there, they're basically telling them everything what to do. Like it's all about them. And like they're kind of like the katan's performing the act, but it's like really all about the gadol. There is another way of reading it, which is that really it's all about the katan and the guy's just guiding them. So I think there are different ways to read it. Maybe this could fit, that other reading could fit into the first model. But I think like I think it's a compelling read to talk about it as like he's like a puppet, right? That the katan is, it's all about the gadol directing them, standing over them, making sure you know. So I think that could fit here. Okay, the third model is that the katan does the maisa and the gadol provides the das or the kavana. So here we have a lot of sources. The first one is Rav Chaim in Hilchos Yibum Mechalitza, I think Dalet Tetzayin. So he's bothered there by the difference between Chalitza and Yibum versus Kiddushin in terms of whether you could have this gadol omer al gabam thing. And so he says, why wouldn't this be true for Kiddushin and other actions? So the distinction he makes is between Kavana and Das. Parenthetically, of Rosenzweig, when he talks about Ede Kiyum and stuff, like he thinks these terms are a little subjective, or actually maybe the reverse. For anyone who was here like during Kiddushin or Ksuvos, he's not so compelled by the terminology of Rav Chaim, but in terms of the model here, it fits nicely. So the Rav Chaim, so he's distinguishing between Kavana and Das. So Kavana can be supplied by Gadol Omin Al Gavav, whereas Das, and a sort of Yetziras HaChalos, as we put it, that needs to happen. That can't happen through any external actor. It needs to be supplied by the person themselves. This is reflected in sort of cases of Ede Kiyum. Not for now. Okay. So we have this model where the Gadol can be supplying the Kavana, but the Katan, where the Katan is officially the one doing the Maisa, we treat it as his action. That's source. The second source is the Rashba according to Rosenzweig's reading. Right, that it doesn't mean that when the Rashba talks about, he's quoting Rabbeinu Yonah there, by the way. Rashba's quoting Rabbeinu Yonah. So for the Rashba according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it doesn't mean that he's actually functioning as a shliach. It's just a parallel. In cases where shlichas could apply, here too, Gadol Omer Al Gabav, it also works. Why? So shlichas can apply when, let me say this correctly, the idea is that only when cases of where shlichas could apply, it could be about kavana, whereas in cases where it doesn't apply, it would be about das. Now, I don't think it's, I think, anyone want to formulate it? Yeah, Benjamin.
I thought the idea was that shlichas separates between the das and
oh,
the
very
das.
Good. Yeah, there we go. Right, so sorry, exactly. Right, shlichos can distinguish between yeah, very good. Right, so the mishaleach I guess has the das, but the shliach maybe has the maisa, and therefore we can see this distinction between these two concepts. And similarly here, so that's like this broader perspective. And similarly here, like gadol omer al gabav, you see a distinction between these two concepts where the gadol is the one providing the kavana, but the katan is the one doing the maisa. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So that's another model. Yeah.
When you said it, do you mean the gadol is the one providing the das or the kavana?
Yeah, kavana. Can we specifically are trying to avoid using das because right. But the gadol is the one providing the kavana. So we see like the more we have a pitzul between these two concepts, that could be, and that parallels here. That's what's helpful in terms of trying to develop this mahalach. A third source, and that's kind of similar to Reb Chaim. A third source is the Tavua Shor. So according to the Vush, right, where we say that the Gadol is really the one, you know, doing it, right? Now the question is, you know, how can that work, right? So the Vush, right? So the Tavua Shor asks, well, that doesn't really make sense, right? Because by tefillin, we know that a gadol omer al gabav doesn't help for the katan writing the tefillin. So, how do we respond to that? So, the Prima Gadin basically writes that shechita and tefillin are entirely different, right? Because by tefillin, you need the shema, And Gadol Omer Agavav can't necessarily do that, but here you don't really require some sort of like, you know, formal kavana per se. So the way Rosenstein was understanding it is that you hear like Shechita, the Gadol is providing this sort of kavana type of thing, right? It's not about, you know, it can't provide the das Gadol Omer Agavav, where let's say in Tefillin you would need that. And so here again, it's this idea that, you know, but what it reflects is that the Gadol is supplying this das and is supplying sort of like, let's say, this type of kavana, even though not halacha kavana, whereas in other cases it wouldn't work for Gadol Omer Agavav. Again, this is sort of like Rav Chaim. Now here, the shita we could point to, it's that in our sugya where this is very clearly reflected is the levush, okay? Because the levush says omed. Thinks that Omid al Gabav al Das Gadol, right? It's all about the Das of the Gadol, but really the Maisa is still the Katan. So those were our three conceptual perspectives and trying to pin them down into here locally. Yeah.
Levush fit more into the second model because Levush, the still Gavra of the Katan, so the person doing the Maisa Shlita would have to be more the Gadol.
Yeah, so it's a good point. I was kind of wavering on this. I think the way we were putting it is that Levush fits more into this model, but I agree that like if the katan is entirely removed, then maybe Levush, you know, he has to be doing everything. You were trying to say Levush is like he's supplanting the das, but the katan is doing the maisa still. But I hear what you're saying. Maybe the argument would be that Levush is saying that for the das, it's just enough to have the gadol. The maisa would still be fine to satisfy like the being removed requirement. I think that's why you said it in Shir. Okay. Now, finally, section E is just the relationship between Chulin and Kadshim and how that reflects on the institution of Shechita. So he'll just sort of run through this because I don't want to take away too much time from Seder, but we'll just basically present a number of, let's say, proofs for how this may reflect on Shechita's Chulin being more than just, you know, a physical action. Okay? So first is the kavana issues by shechita, right? The more we talk about like this concept of having kavana by shechita, then that reflects that shechita is more than just, you know, an action. It needs to be more than that, and that would make sense. Shechita schulin is not just a, you know, getting rid of an iser or just a practical matir. It's really about this elevated institution. You know, it's a legal, you know, spiritual institution. So that. So that perspective, you know, the Rabbanan is helpful for that, and we mentioned before there might be some remnants. But the first thing we talked about is like the Rabbanan is very bothered by like Mitasek B'Kachim and how, you know, is that how Mitasek B'Kachim doesn't work. Ramban and Melchamos is discussing, well, you know, how does that fit in with Mitzvot Srichos Kavana, Mitzvot Einat Srichos Kavana? This says Mitasek B'Kachim, if we hold Mitzvot Einat Srichos Kavana, how could Mitasek B'Kachim not work? He says Mitasek B'Kachim is like a whole is a lot more, you know, than that. But what Rav Rosenzweig said is that the Ramban at the end references Shechita and also Tevila in the context of Mitzvot Srichos Kavana or not. And to put it simply, again, Rav Rosenzweig held that the Shita of the Rabbanan, I think he sort of put it like the Ramban is very respectful of the Shita of the Rabbanan. So basically, it seems like the Ramban, by referencing it here in this context, is saying that there's still some remnant to this idea of Kavana, Mitzvot Srichos Kavana here, and therefore it makes sense that therefore it lends itself to being believed that it's more than just, you know, just this Maisa if we're thinking about it in the context of Mitzvot Srichos Kavana. Right, it's sort of a gratuitous reference in the Ramban and the Machamos to reference Shechita there, and the Machos Rabbi Nasan and the Rabbanan. In the Ramban Chulin Lamed Aleph and Bet, it seems to totally disentangle, but you know this relationship. So the Ramban Chulin and Bet does not portray it this way at all. But the Melchamos, that's what Rosenzweig was saying. You can take a look at the Melchamos there, see what you think about it. Okay, so let's just run through a few examples here, and with this we'll close. So, you know, we're trying to basically portray Shechita as a legal action, and now, so let's say that's like one. But if we want to portray, we're trying to portray Shechita as like this legal action, okay? Now, there's a whole bunch of perspectives which can reflect that it's more than just a Maisa. You know, it's this, you know, Devar Shel Kedusha, elevated institution. We won't, hopefully during Chazara, you guys are on top of that already, so we won't spell that out more. Okay, so now let's go through a whole list of examples. First is Rabbi Akiva Eger discusses how less than 6 years old is like a Maisa Kof. Now, it's sort of a double-edged sword. I'll explain in a second. But basically what we were trying to say is that Maisa by saying it's like a Maisa Kof, that reflects that it's not just about an action, because if it's about an action, then you know who cares whether it's 6, 7, 8, right? But he's saying that like there's no intellect behind that action at all. That's a problem, okay? Now, so that we say is like a proof that it's more than just a Maisa. It's this formal legal action. What's the problem? What happens after age 6? Still a katan, right? So what, you know, why isn't that the same principle? So the, you know, you can argue that maybe there, and this is sort of an interesting option we didn't explore so much here, or really in Shir either, but this idea that maybe like the katan could be fundamentally included in the mitzvah, but then we have this chashash, you know, kilkul or something like that. So like a katan can be included or not. So just the Akiva Eger is a source for, you know, it's being more than just a maisa, but you have to kind of work out the second part of it, which is, well, how do you work out the part when he's after 6 years old? Okay. Third proof is that the Mishnah in Chulin Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph discusses the case of Nafla Sakin V'Shachta. So it says that it's psula. Why? Because Zachalta V'Chalta Masha Atazoveach Ataochel. Right. So you have to do it with. You can't just drop a sword. It has to be sort of this Maisa Shchita and the Gavra Shochet. So everyone, as I said, this kind of parallels the language of the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos, the beginning of Pilchos Shchita. That you need to sort of do shrita with some sort of intentionality a little bit, and then eat it. So it's like a matir for being, it's like a matir as like a mitzvah. So the formulation there is very rich. A fourth proof is the, if you hold that midoraisa, and this is a little bit of a debate, but the predominant view is that an akum is pasul midoraisa. If you hold that an akum is pasul midoraisa, that it's very much, very strong evidence that it's not just about like the technique per se or the maisa, it's this more formal psul. That's a source number. That's the fourth source. A fifth source is the Rimi Lonil. I think Josh was very excited about this. So I've never been in Shir where they have the picture of the source on the board with underlines. That was very impressive. Okay, so the Rimi Lonil, when discussing Machlokas Rabbi Nasan and Chachamim, says that for Rabbi Nasan, the lack of kavana is nama akev bidiyeved. Ah, but only nama akev bidiyeved. Really, lechachila, you should have kavana. This is even for Rabbi Nasan's opinion. So what does that reflect? That there still is this remnant or shiur of kavana in Shritas Chulin, indicating that it's more than just a maisa, more than just a simple action. A sixth source is the Yamshel Shlomo and Chulin Bet Yud Gimel, who states that if you have Kavana Shelo Latzeis in Shchita, then it becomes Aser to eat. So if you have Kavana and, you know, to do a Nechira or something, and if you end up doing a proper Shchita, and you definitely don't want to do a Shchita, you end up doing it anyways, so that's not considered to be a Shchita at all. So again, we see that there's some standards beyond just a simple action. Finally, I'm not sure if you're formulating it this way necessarily in Shir, but I think this is just a good example. Right? The Hilchos Eretz Yisrael says that someone under 18 is not good. The Rama says that, you know, there are Machmir people who say this idea of you need a Kabbalah at the age of 18. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes it as well. So again, the more we see that it's not just about like this, chashash kilkul per se, although you don't necessarily have to read it this way, and the more it's like, oh, you see these extra standards, reflects that Shritas Chulin is not just, again, not just a Maisa, but it could be that there are other more rigorous standards that reflect that it's a Dervish Lakadusha, an elevated institution. So, just to sum up this this point, right, the idea is that a Katan is a case, right, where we have another indication that Shrita being more than just a physical action, any indication that you have to be some sort of a bar hachi, it pushes in the direction that Shchita is sort of like a transcendent act. And the katan issue brings this to light, and also the other ones of Adim, Nashim, so sort of all bring this point to light. And this is probably most true within the opinion of the Levush, right, who says, you know, it's ain't a bar zvicha at all, you need to have someone who's a bar hachi involved in Shchita because it's this Dervish HaKadusha process. Now, that's the end of what we wanted to discuss, but just to make a quick another quick point, So we spent a lot of time, this is sort of not really tangential, we spent a lot of time on it, but it was sort of we spent a lot of time talking about like Becheskas Isser and the Taz and a lot of the Shito pertaining to that. So, and like whether, you know, whether it's Becheskas Isser or whether it should be Omid Beheter. So we're not going to go into that because that wasn't really so much about Katan. But just say, I think this is a helpful point, that what we're really trying to discuss there is the more we think about it as like Becheskas Isser or Omid Beheter, and whether or not there's a constant psul or there isn't, what we're trying to argue is that reflects on what the you know, heter achilas basar is in the first place. Whether it really meat is fine, but you just need a shchita, or whether it's always aser, the relationship between avela and aver min achai. So the reason why we're discussing that is for that reason. So it's sort of related, but it's not really about katan per se. Okay, shkayak ulach chazrin for the mechina tomorrow.